We'll ask for your prayers this morning. I trust that's each of our desire and prayers to walk close to the Lord. Believe that that's, Scripture says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I can assure you that's one prayer that's according to His will. The Lord knows how to draw us close to Him if we're willing, and I believe if ever we need that, it's today, to have a close walk and relationship with the Lord. Have a word that's been on my mind, some thoughts the Lord's been dealing with me about, and again, ask for your prayers the Lord would make it profitable to us. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Some of you that are here may remember it was before my time. I believe it was the year 1980. If I remember correctly, the month of May. Whenever a mountain that had been trembling for a while, been seeing some seismic activity and ground rumbling and some warning signs that were an indicator that there might be some trouble ahead, began to give geologists or those that study seismic activity cause for real concern. They began to issue some warnings that you need to take cover, that any who are in this area need to remove themselves, need to pack up and leave, because we don't know entirely what this means. We don't know entirely what might happen or how soon it might happen, but the thing that we do know is that something's going on, that there's something that is at risk of breaking forth here at any moment. The place was Mount St. Helens. There was a man by the name of Harry Randall Truman. He lived on the mountain, very near to the area where the eruption happened. Near Spirit Lake, he had spent decades, most of his life, on that area, and whenever the warnings came forth, he disregarded them. Wouldn't hear it, didn't want anything to do with it, ignored it. He became something of a celebrity maybe isn't the word, but he became something that was someone very well known. They would come and do interviews with him in the days and the weeks leading up to the eruption of the volcano, and he would give very colorful interviews, as they called it. He would curse and swear, and I'm not leaving this place. This is where I've spent my life. I'm part of this mountain. I don't believe it anyway. It's never happened before. And I don't believe it's going to happen now. I'm not leaving. Well, they warned and they warned and tried to tell him, but he had his mind set. He was determined on what he wanted to do. And on that morning, early morning, whenever it finally broke forth, there was a man at a distance watching through a telescope. And as he saw the river of lava flowing down the mountain, he said, if he's there with his cats that he had there in the house with him, said he's no longer alive. The warnings had come and the warnings had been disregarded. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be that way. The Lord doesn't want us to handle His word and the warnings that He sends our way in that kind of manner. The Scripture says that there will be many in that day, many in our time, that would say, where is the promise of His coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. You know, isn't it just kind of something about human nature? That what I've seen, and day after day, morning after morning, the years go by and things just kind of fall into a routine, and I become accustomed to the way things are. And it can begin to seem like things will always be this way, that it'll never change, that this is the way it's always been. And there would be a spirit of unbelief, the Scripture's warning of, in our time of an unbelieving generation who began to look, who began to get lulled into a place of complacency. This mountain's never erupted before. I've been here all my life. I hear the warnings and I hear what you're saying, but I'm not inclined to move. It wasn't just this man, and it's not just in our time. But you remember whenever Lot came unto his children and children-in-law? Whenever he began to plead with them, the Lord's wrath is filled up. The time is almost here for his judgment to fall. Run for your life. Won't you come and go with us? You ever feel that way with your loved ones? Believe we know that feeling. Won't you run for your life? Don't you see the danger that's ahead? Can't you feel the trembling of the earth? Don't you know what it means? Don't you know what's about to happen? Come on, there's still time. There's still opportunity. There's still Harry. There's still a warning here. This thing hadn't erupted yet. You can go and move somewhere else and be safe. To our loved ones, won't you hear the cry? Won't you look at the signs? And Jesus, whenever, we're getting here to Proverbs, but Jesus, whenever he looked at the people he was speaking to, and he said, "You hypocrites. You're hypocrites. You're able to look at the sky and you're able to see and understand and draw conclusions from what you see in the sky. You're able to look at the color of the sky and you're able to make a determination by that. Here's what I need to do because of what I'm seeing. Because it foretells something of what tomorrow is going to hold or what the day of us ahead of us will hold. None of us know for sure what tomorrow holds. But you know, as he spoke to them, he said, "You hypocrites, you're able to look at that. And you're able to draw some conclusions and connection of what you need to do. But the things that are really the most important, you're not able to draw from it the conclusion that you need to be able to understand and draw from it. You're not able to see and understand from the signs of the time." Today, are we able to discern the signs of the time? Lord, help us to be able to have understanding of the times that we're in today. So I'd like for us to read here in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." By contrast, to think of a man that's simple, to be prudent is to have understanding. To not be simple, to be understanding of heart, to be able to look at a thing and it's what wisdom is. To be able to look at a thing and understand it. To be able to not just have a knowledge, but to have understanding of what a thing means. To be able to look at a thing and understand the consequences of an action. To be able to understand the reaction of an action. The things that I do, what's it going to affect? What's it going to cause? If I make this decision, what's going to happen right down the road? But how many people in our world today are so simple? Rushing through life and making decision after decision and never seeming to really stop and understand the consequences, the law of sowing and reaping that has never been defied. But yet somehow it seems like in my life that I'll be the exception. Somehow in my life that I'll be able to bypass the consequences of my actions. Think of Proverbs, the 7th chapter, as we think in contrast here of the prudent man. It talks about the simple man. He says, it gives a picture that he paints. We won't read all of it here, but it says, "At the window of my house," Proverbs 7, "I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. You know, so many warning signs. Situations just right. Conditions just so that if I was one of understanding, I'd be able to look at this and know this is her corner. This is what she does. The conditions and the time of day and everything is leaning right down a path, but to the simple. The scripture says back here in Proverbs 22, the simple pass on and are punished. I would this morning that the Lord would help us to be a prudent people, to not be simple and understanding in our lives. It carries with it a very serious, eternal weight of consequence that we be able to not be simple concerning the signs of the time, concerning the things that we see about us. The scriptures talk about the day of the Lord. How? Not that it comes with declaration and pre-warning and all of this, but it says that it'll come as a thief in the night without warning. Or without a declaration that tomorrow is the day. We hear how often it seems like just every few years, if not more often, that somebody will rise up, a false prophet in the name of Christ, and say, I know when that day is going to be. I know the time. I know the date. I believe it was just this month. Somebody has come out again that this will be the end. But the Lord said that it's going to come as a thief in the night. It's going to come whenever men least expect it. Whenever they least are prepared and ready. So the time to prepare is not at that moment, for it'll be too late. But it's for us to be able to understand the warnings that the Lord has given. To understand the signs of the time. The rumbling and the trembling in the earth that says something's about to break loose. Something's about to happen. You heard people make comments like this even recently. There's just something about what's going on. Why is there so much strife in our nation? Why is there this and that? And I just don't understand it. What's going on about us? They can feel the rumbling of the ground, so to speak. But the Lord doesn't just want us to feel that and be in fear, but to feel that and to have an understanding. To be a people of understanding, to realize this is the time for me to draw close to the Lord. If ever there's a time for me to have a close walk with the Lord, to be firmly rooted and grounded in His Word, this is the time. This is the warning for me to say, and the things that we see about us, again, are not for us to just, for our hearts to melt within us. But it's to cause us to realize my own mortality, to realize the danger that I'm in. Lord, help me. And Lord, on behalf of those, I can't force an evacuation. I can't force family members to do this and to do that, but Lord, help me to be in a place that I can stand in the gap on behalf of those who haven't heeded the call. On behalf of those who haven't heard or have heard the warning and have disregarded it. The best that I can do to be able to convince them is to live it. To be able to be there for them. To be able to be in the place with the Lord that I need to be. And so it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. My burden this morning, the word that's been on my mind is foresight. You know, the Lord wants us to have foresight. Yeah. We've heard the little saying, hindsight is 20/20. Being able to look, and I'd have to say there are exceptions to that. People look back on their lives and they don't seem to be able to learn the lessons from the past that they ought to be able to learn. They look back without the Lord's help and without His understanding. They look back and they still don't learn. that I'm the reason why this has happened. I'm the reason why I'm having this problem and that problem. It's not my brother's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not the church's fault. But I'm not able to really look back and understand. So I don't fully take to that saying. But in a natural sense, the world saying is, it's easier to be able to look back, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Well, I shouldn't have turned. I shouldn't have run that red light. I shouldn't have done. It's easier after the thing has happened. It's easier after the accident to say, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this differently. If only I could go back and do that again. It's easier to be able to look back and say I should have. But the Lord doesn't want us to be a people who are driving only through the rearview mirror. The Lord wants us to be able to have some foresight. Foresight is to look ahead of a thing. To be able, as it says here, the prudent man is able to foresee. To be able to see before you get there. To be able to have understanding. And so I pair that with a scripture that says, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And it leaves me saying, Lord, how can I do this then? It's not in my own way to be able to direct my steps and my own path. This is a song, heard sung, always mine goes to Holly Hill when it comes to my mind. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't take a step without you holding my hand, Lord. I don't know the next step to take on my own. So how am I going to be able to look ahead of a thing before something even happens and be able to make corrections or be able to make adjustments, to be able to make decisions based on something that hasn't even happened yet? Yeah. Is it possible? Let's look at the 6th chapter of Proverbs. Foresight. Proverbs chapter 6, and beginning in the 6th verse, says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. I took my mower in to be serviced here a couple weeks ago. And he told me there are 40 jobs ahead of you. You're going to be a couple weeks. The other place I called said it could be even longer than that. That it could be weeks on end before I'd get my mower back. Well, my grass doesn't get the memo and decide to quit growing because my mower's not ready to cut. It's still growing. Well, I'm telling on myself. Because had I had the proper foresight, I'd remember in January that the grass is going to start growing about April, May. But our tendency too often, and it's why there was a slug of 40 jobs that came in the shop right about the time the weather started getting nice. Right about the time that I start realizing, and whenever I start seeing the grass grow, then I start thinking about, oh yeah, I'm going to have to do something about this grass. I'm going to have to do something to deal with this. But I wonder, Lord, how often in my life have I been that way? How often should I have been able to say, there's something I need to do differently here. There's something that I need to take care of here. Before the time comes, because it's easier to react. It's easier after something has happened, then I realize I'm in trouble. I need the Lord here. Whenever I'm in a scrape, I'm in a situation, I'm in a bad place here, and I'm in trouble, and I've gotten myself into a real mess here, Lord, I need you. And the Lord's been wanting to say all along,
Child, you need me.
Before you get to the place that you realize it because you're in a mess. Because you're stuck here. And I've been trying to warn you all along. If you just listen. If you would heed the check and the warning. A prudent man foreseeth. Is able to look ahead. Is able to have understanding by the Spirit of the Lord. To give wisdom. The source of all wisdom. From the Father that is above. So the scripture here says, go to the ant. Lest any of us should feel a bit of pride, the Lord is saying, go take a lesson from that little ant. Go take a lesson from that small creature and how much we can learn. The scripture here is talking about the ant that doesn't have a ruler, doesn't have anybody that's saying, this is what you have to do or else. That's having to, as we sometimes have to do with people, trying to motivate, incentivize. If you'll do this and you'll work real hard, there'll be a treat for you at the end of the day. If you do this, there's going to be I'll give you a payday, and maybe if you don't want to wait, I'll give you a little bit of advance on it so that you keep working. But an ant here is saying, in the summertime, whenever there's plenty, whenever there's all you can eat buffet all around you, the ant is not just thinking about today, but the ant is thinking about the winter that's to come. How does it do it? Because there's a God that's created it so. Because there's a God that's given it instinct and understanding to be able to know, to be able to sense and discern, there's something here that I need to lay up in store for. The scripture talks about in 1 Timothy that we too are to lay up in store a good foundation for the time or the day that is to come. That we not just in the day of battle prepare for battle, but in peacetime we prepare for the day of battle. Whenever we're up on the mountaintop, it's easier perhaps for us to get a little bit careless, to rejoice and enjoy the mountaintop experience. But the Lord in all things, the scripture says, that he setteth the one over against the other. Prosperity and adversity. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. The Lord has set these over against each other. He's the one that's worked in all of this. He's appointed it to be so. The Lord doesn't want our life to just be a life of roses and ease all the way. But the Lord, if we'll walk with our hand in His, knows how to prepare us for what's around the corner. He knows how when I don't even know how to prepare. I'm convinced of this, and I've seen this. The Lord knows how to prepare me when I don't even know He's preparing me. Because He knows what tomorrow holds. He knows what's ahead. You know, the Lord on a Sunday when we come together, the Lord knows what I need in this coming week. It behooves me then to come with a spirit and a mindset. Lord, would you give me understanding? Lord, what is the portion that you have for me? Because I don't want to go through life constantly being blindsided by one thing after another. Where did that come from? And I'm scrambling here and I'm in trouble here and I didn't prepare for that one. The Lord wants us to go through emergency preparedness before the emergency comes. It's what our nation, Department of Homeland Security and different divisions will talk about. You check your smoke detector before the fire's there. You check it whenever things are going well, because that's the time to take inventory and to make sure. And so I believe the Lord wants us to be challenged that in the day of peace, we also consider that we prepare in this day for the days that are to come. You remember Elijah? Whenever Elijah was running for his life, was discouraged, was ready to just call it quits. And an angel met him there and told him to rise up and eat. And so he did. He ate, went back and lay down again and slept. And the angel woke him a second time. Rise up and eat. And he went in the strength of that. What was it, 40 days or a long period of time? That he went in the strength of what? The angel knew what he needed. The angel knew how long it was going to be. How foolish it would have been to say, no, I've already eaten, I've had plenty. No, the Lord knows what I need, and the Lord is able, if I'll have the foresight through His Spirit, to be able to prepare for the day that's coming. That I not always just be reactive, but that I be proactive about some things. That I not just always deal with my own life and my own spiritual needs, from a standpoint of always reacting. Always whenever I'm backed into a corner, so to speak, then I realize I've got a need here. I've got some trouble here. But the Lord wants to be able by His Spirit to give us some foresight. To give us some understanding of things in my life that I need to be able to take care of before those times come. And many other examples of where the Lord's given foresight. Think about the destruction of Jerusalem. Think about the horror that history records that destruction was. The desolation of that city and of the condition of the people that was almost beyond description. But there were a people who were absent from the city when that destruction hit. They were a people who had faith in the words of Jesus. Because Jesus had warned, He had prophesied very specifically before that time ever came. And He said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, run for the hills. Whenever you see, don't go back into the house and get your belongings. But you run for your life. Whenever you see these things come to pass, I'm thankful to be a child of God because that's my only hope. The Lord, I'm no different than any other man on my own. I have no more intelligence or wisdom on my own without the Lord being able to direct my steps and my path. The Lord has given through His Word. He's given what we need. The roadmap to heaven. I think of the scripture in Isaiah. It says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and to the left, you'll be able to hear a word, a voice behind you, giving guidance, giving direction. That's the source of our foresight. That's how we're able to be able to look ahead, to see beyond the next corner, so to speak, around the corner, and be able to look ahead and have understanding. To be able to look at a situation in life and have understanding. To be able to look at a decision that I'm contemplating and have understanding. To be able to look at a thing that I'm doing and have understanding of the consequences of that thing. I'd like to look at 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. Referred to this scripture often. But I'd like to read it here. 1 Kings 20. Verses 20 and 19, so these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them, and they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad the king of Syria escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Sounds like time to celebrate, doesn't it? The Lord's given a victory. He's given the Syrians, the enemy, into their hands in a great victory, a great deliverance, a great slaughtering of the enemy. Our natural instinct or reaction at a time like that, or at least mine, whenever I've been in a battle, I've been in a place that I've been having very diligently to seek the Lord over and over. It's when you're in a place like that, it's more than just a casual thought in your mind, Lord, I need your help. But whenever you get really earnest in spirit about something, whenever you're in a battle and you're fighting for your life, and the Lord gives a victory. You know, I found right on the heels of that, sometimes the enemy wants to come in with a sneaker attack. Right on the heels of that, because he wants to get us off of our guard. He wants to get us into a place. I've been having to be on my knees. I've been having to seek the Lord. And then all of a sudden there's a calm. And I can begin to let down my defenses a little bit. To breathe a sigh of relief, so to speak. And there's a place that the Lord brings us into, a resting place. And the Lord is able to apply a balm to our wounds where we've been wounded. And a place and a time for that. But even in those times, let's consider what the warning was. The prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark. And see what thou doest, for at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Be careful. Be careful, king. Don't allow yourself to get into a place of complacency. Don't allow yourself to get into a place that you're busy celebrating and you're busy rejoicing and living in the prosperity and the peace of the moment so that you don't see what's right about to happen. He'll be back. So the time is now to go and fortify your defenses. The time is now to be able to go in and fix the things that need fixing. Whenever it's pouring rain, if you've got a leak in your roof, it's real easy to remember. If you see a drip, 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 I need to take care of that. But that's not the time to go up and, well, it's better than letting it drip perhaps. But the best time is before it happens. Before the rain comes. Before the floods come. Those things that I've seen in the past perhaps, where there's some water leaking through here. There's something that sprung a leak. There are some cracks in the defenses and the fortification. I can begin to forget that whenever it's peacetime. It's something like, I believe, the scripture we read in James of a man that looks into the perfect law of liberty and he beholds himself as in a glass. He sees what manner of man a person he is. It's there very evident for him. But the danger is turning around and I lose sight of it and I forget it. And I don't feel the urgency anymore of taking care of that. It's not a problem right now. Beware of those things that would try to lie dormant under the surface that I think because everything's going well right now, I must be doing all right. I must be just really doing really strong in the Lord right now. And I trust that we are and thank the Lord for it. But let us also strengthen ourselves as the scripture says here. Lord, are there some places in this time, in this season of my life, that you want me to strengthen, that you want me to fortify, to study, to present ourselves before the Lord? Lord, would you help me? That I challenge us this morning, that we not just come to the Lord with that mindset when I'm in trouble. Let's do it when we're in trouble. But today, Lord, what is it about me? Lord, I want to come to you. I want to come seeking you, not just waiting until trouble comes knocking on my door, but I want to be proactive as opposed to reactive. I want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know those things about me that are weaknesses. You know those things that the enemy is looking at right now. And he's got his sight set on that, saying, that's my next target. Lord, help me to have some foresight here. Help me to be able to go and strengthen my defenses here. For that time when the enemy does come back in, that I can be prepared for him. May the Lord help us that we live our lives with foresight. Not like the world who's just living for the here and now. Just living for the moment. Just reacting to what's happening at the moment. And as they say, flying by the seat of my pants. Without understanding. But I want to be able to be a man of understanding. I've seen people at the close of their lives, by the mercy of God, when He's seen fit to extend mercy to them, where they've come down and faced themselves, and then they're feeling distress. They're feeling the urgency. I've got some things I got to take care of. I got some things in my life I've never made right, and all of a sudden eternity looms before me, and I feel the weight of that. Thank the Lord for His mercy. For those times that He'll allow an individual to deal like that, but the Lord hadn't promised it for any of us. May we not wait throughout our lives. I've been challenged as I've seen things like that, where now on a deathbed or a place like that, I need to call this brother. I've got something I got to make right from maybe years back in the past. I've got this I need to take care of. I got to apologize about that. I've got to make this right. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to have some foresight. I want to take care of some things before I get to that time where now I'm almost out of time. And I realize this trouble and calamity is besetting me. I've got to take care of some things. Lord, help me to be able to see ahead. To be able to be honest with myself and with You. Lord, where am I at? I don't want to just gauge where I'm at by the way I feel, by how life is going. When life is easy, I feel like things must be going all right. You ever notice now in our times of electronics, computerized calculations of mileage in a vehicle and all, when you're going down a hill, you can get that instantaneous fuel mileage reading. And even in my truck, I can get 99 miles a gallon if the hill's steep enough. And I hope you get the connection. I don't want to gauge my spiritual life. Whew, look at that. I'm doing great. Boy, I'm just coasting. I'm hitting on all cylinders. Things are going well. And then all of a sudden, life presents an uphill. And I realize I'm not quite where I thought I was. The Lord allows those places in our lives. The Lord allows to work in our lives things that can show us. Things that are through His merciful judgments to allow us to come face to face with who I am. And some of that is His workings. I'm not just suggesting that the Lord, if we'll listen to His voice, the Lord will never allow us to get into hard places. The Lord will never allow us to have to deal with a situation or a problem. But I'm challenged for my own self of how much trouble and heartache and problem can I avoid if I have foresight by the Spirit of God. If I learn to rely upon Him and His guidance and His voice to point me in the right direction, to give me those warnings, those things that I've seems like so many times. As I'm sure others found it to be the same, ministers, those that have worked with souls that are in trouble, gotten down into a place that I'm in trouble, not where I need to be with the Lord. This thing has cropped up and I've allowed this thing into my heart and my life, and I don't know how to deal with it, and you begin working with them. Well, how did this happen? Or how's your prayer life been? I believe without fail, it's not been what it ought to be. I've not been diligent in my walk with the Lord. If I could have foresight, Lord, help me to be able to see now. And so many times people like that, you think Peter ever had some of these thoughts? Why didn't I see? Why didn't I, when they're asking me the questions, aren't you one of his? And I felt that rise. Why didn't I remember what Jesus said? Why didn't I? But in the heat of the moment, in the passion of the moment, it's too late now. Really, it's too late. Peter had already been making the decision to follow Jesus afar off. He had already been there at a distance watching what was happening. Jesus, he knew. He had the foresight. Why do you think Jesus warned Peter? Peter, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter, you don't see your flesh. What you're speaking from is the willingness of your spirit. I want to do this. It's what my intention is. It's what my motivation is. We must have an intention and a motivation. But the Lord wants us to be able to look down deeper than that. To be able to see some underlying areas of the flesh that would try to rise up and that would cause me problems down the road. It can lie dormant for a while and then rise up when I least expect it. And here's Peter. As the questions are being asked and he's feeling that rising up within him. No, no. First time, Peter. Don't you realize? Peter, there's Jesus over there. Cry out. Go running to him, Peter. Ask for his help. Ask for his forgiveness. But he just kept on blindly going. Oh, it troubles me to see people today just blindly going on their way. Don't you see? Wake up. Don't you realize that thing in your life? No doubt God has meant that for your good. To wake you up. To cause you to consider, to cause you to weigh out the matters of your soul. Don't you realize? Don't you see it? Oh, if only our world today could have some foresight. I've wondered, I've thought, if the world, if sinners could see a glimpse into eternity, how many would fall on their face? I don't believe there'd be a soul standing. Because that's what it'll be on the day that it is unveiled. Every knee's going to bow. But Lord, we're in the flesh. We're in these bodies, I mean to say. And we see through a glass darkly. Scripture tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk just for the here and now. We don't walk just by what I see, what I feel, what I'm able to understand by the natural flesh of seeing, hearing, tasting. I need something of the Spirit. I need to be able to maintain a faith in God that whenever I don't see it, I know I have a hope and a faith that's anchored in the veil, in eternity. Isn't that what we're living for? We're living for that time whenever we'll see the Lord face to face. So the things that we face in this life, the things that we see, there's something so much greater than that. Let's not live as the world lives, day to day, living for the moment, reacting to this, reacting to that, and never understanding what it's all about. Never understanding what God's trying to speak to my soul. The Lord wants us to be a people of understanding. He wants us, and I can look at that man, Harry Randall Truman, and say, how could you be so ignorant? How could you be so stubborn? And then I have to stop and consider, Lord, what about me? Places in my life that through your mercy you bring me to an understanding to realize you've been trying to deal with this for years. Lord, you've been trying to show me this and it hadn't been other people. Lord, it's been myself tripping me up. I'm the one that's been by my own ways, attitudes, things of the flesh that I haven't dealt with that have been a tripwire in my path. The Lord doesn't intend for us to have to go through life
tripping over and over and over again, but to be able to have some foresight, some wisdom, some understanding, to be able to look and examine myself before that time comes. Lord, what is it you're trying to say to me today in this time? Lord, what is it that I need to be building and laying up in store today? May God help us each one. You pray for me.